Greetings again, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of Jesus as a servant of Jesus Christ. Paul said many times, he said, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and bondservant. If you go into his introductions into the different letters that he wrote, Paul clearly was not ashamed of calling himself an apostle. And Paul was an apostle because he was directly called by God. He had the calling of God directly as he was smitten there on the road to Damascus. But I'm saying that are we all called into some spiritual gift or work that God wants to do with us? As Brother Benji was sharing, and he touched briefly on the subject of spiritual gifts and how we're gifted differently. Again, it brought my mind and senses to that gifting and that each one of us has. And to answer probably this question bit ahead of time, but with a lot more thought as we go along, is I'm just going to answer that question, or put underneath that, should we desire spiritual gifts? In 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse there says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. The word covet and earnestly are both pretty serious words, really. And over the course of years, I have went back and forth myself and have heard a lot of pros and cons on how we should look at spiritual gifts in ourselves or amongst ourselves, and all the way to that, you know, there should be no focus on them. God will use them the way He wants to use them in us. We shouldn't try to figure out what we are, who we are, all the way to, like, full-blown Bible studies on all the spiritual gifts and how they look and what they do and all the details of that. Somewhere in there, we need to come to a place of rest and use of what God wants to do when He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So I just added something to the last part of that verse. When he wants us to actually go after something that God has for us, but there's a certain way that should be done, then that means that we need to know what that right way is. And as you might say, I had to really appreciate and say, thank you, brother, for expounding that all that we do that is right needs to be done with the right motive. I think we're kind of on the same track. I'm going to first read in Ephesians. So if you want to turn, my theme, the scriptures I'm using, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, I'm going to read out of Ephesians 4 to start with here. And I would really earnestly desire prayer again as we go into the rest of the message here for today. Whoever has the mic, if you would just, Brother Jeremy, would you pray for the rest of the message here? I had a really full week, and this is a partial study, I must admit, not a complete message probably at the end. So pray for me and us as we spend the next 30, 40 minutes here together. Let's all stand up for that.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, to hear your word, to receive, Lord, some spiritual gift. Lord, do you see the needs that we have? Lord, you see the glory that you desire to fulfill for your own self, for your own name, and the fruit you desire to perform in our lives. Lord, you know our thoughts afar off. You know the search and try, the very motives and intents of our hearts. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would bring forth your word, Lord, to bear right where we need it. Lord, I ask that you give strength and grace to Brother Richard. Lord, give him clarity of thought and unction, a fervent spirit, Lord, and all boldness to share, Lord, what you've put on his heart. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would accomplish your purposes, Lord, in our life, and you would conform us to your image, mm-hmm. the image of your dear Son. Mm-hmm. Lord, that you would bring us, Lord, to the fullness of the measure and the stature of Christ. And Lord, we know that it's your desire, it's your will, Lord, to change us, not to leave us where we are. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness that brings us to repentance. We thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your love, Lord, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. Lord, bless your word here this morning. And open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to understand, Lord, what the Spirit says to the churches, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. There's the first word, gifts, that I'm coming across. And now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And with that, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I'm going to stop there for a little bit. And as we think about, I don't know that I can completely explain, or I know I can't fully explain, that as Christ ascended up on high, as Christ went, the leading, as he led captivity captive, as he had victory, we were captive. We were like prisoners of war to Satan. We were his prisoners. And somehow, Christ, when he ascended, he made the way for all of us that were captive. He took that captivity and made it captive. Is like the Satan had no choice, but he made a way for us to not be a prisoner of war anymore. And as he did that, and he went up on high, as it says in Psalms, let me just read. That's a quote coming from Psalm 68 in verse 18, and I'm going to start in verse 16. Why leap ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in ye. The Lord will dwell in it forever. That hill where God dwells, where he once people to be with him. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. There's a holy place that God has, that he dwells with men. He says that thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Somehow, when Christ went and ascended back on high, and there was a receiving of gifts that he himself was, that he wants to impart to men, and he gave it to men. And like I said, I don't know that at this point I can understand quite all that, but I do know that there is plenty of scriptures here on spiritual gifts, and that how we look at those. And as I was listening to Brother Benji preach, I can't remember near all that he said, but I know one thing. There was some energy behind that, and he was excited, and he was on fire about what he said. There was an energy, an inertia. If you take, and I would say that one of the gifts that we've seen coming from that, as I read here, he gave some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists. Brother Benji is an evangelist, but can he turn that into something that could not be edifying for the church? And we need to take a look at what all are the gifts meant to be for. I don't have in mind to look at each individual gift so much as should I be interested, or should I be exercising my gift? And I'm going to turn next to 1 Corinthians 12, or back up to that. And there is kind of the context, because that's where we find a lot, as in the spiritual gifts, is in 1 Corinthians 12. And he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So should I desire them, or should I know something about it? Well, he most certainly doesn't want us to be ignorant about it. So we shouldn't necessarily, I would say that would be reason enough not to just ignore them. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And his whole context is to get into the differences of gifts, because there was a problem with the way the Corinthian church was, doing their worship, having their communion, and those kind of, the way they were worshiping was in a chaos. And they were exercising certain characteristics and traits they had as gifts in a very unorganized way. And it was causing contention and confusion. And Paul is trying to bring this to a way of teaching them what that should look like. So he says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." I think there's a key. Profit with all. "That everything may be profited. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. to another, divers or diverse or various, diversity of kinds, diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And we're going to go on and look at what is really behind this that God wants to do with this. If we were to take, let me just maybe back up here just a little bit and go into some explanations. If we look at the word diversities of gifts, the word gifts is 5486. It's a, that word itself is charisma. The word charis or grace, it has a charisma there, has a form of grace or gratuity given by God in a rejoicing. There's also a Greek word attached to that that means rejoicing or excitement. In other words, there's an energy there. If I were to say you got a gift from God, from the Holy Spirit, and the word charisma is something that actually excites you. It is actually something that energizes you. It's the grace of God given in a way that stirs you up. It makes you think about what He wants you to do. It makes you think about His power in your life. Now, grace is also the power of God in our heart, or the gift of God given into our lives, our heart, and the reflection of that coming out of us. But here, charisma is a gift that has an energy behind it. Something that has energy behind it is meant to, as it says here, it is meant to administrate something. It is meant to do something. It is meant to have a goal. It is meant to have an operations. Let's just keep going just a little bit further here. It says diversities. It's a diversity. There's a variation of gifts. There's a variation of administrations. Administrations here is simply the word services, or it's diakonia, 1248, which is where we get our word deacon from. It's a ministering service, a service or an aid to attending to accomplishing something. The word operations, various operations, the word operations actually is the word energia or energist, or it's where the English word energy comes from. If you were to take, so this variation of gifts, variation of grace in the form of a gratuity or something that God gives that is there to, that motivates us to do something He wants for His service, which is the administration, and it has an energy or an endowment of grace behind it, a power that has an energy, it should result in something that God wants. And if we want to follow Jesus and do a calling or a work that He has for us, should we look at the gift that He has put in us or given to us that excites us for His service? Absolutely. Absolutely. If I was to, but yet, let me just say what spiritual gifts, let me define what I believe spiritual gifts can do. This is in my words. Spiritual gifts are given to each person, particularly to, and we heard that, as severally as He wills, as God wills or as the Holy Spirit wills. These spiritual gifts are given in a separate or a particular way to us as individuals or saints. You will not have spiritual gifts. It doesn't mean that characteristically we can't have a certain gifting in certain ways, but an actual spiritual gift, I would view it as something that God actually imparts in our character, in our makeup, in our personality, and how we are born. In our carnal state, we still have good points. We have good things about us that can be exercised. But those good characteristics will always carry selfish motives unless we are born again. And after that, I'm here to say Paul is contending with all his information here that they can still carry selfish motives, but they will. We cannot live out the grace of God without being born again, and that's why it says in Ephesians that it's for the edifying of the saints. And I want to get more specific with that as we go along here. But back to my statement. So it is spiritual gifts, I believe, are given as separate or particular. And the reason I'm using the word separate, I need to turn back to Ephesians. Here's where we get a lot of this, is and some of my notes here are just a little bit scattered, but I found some Greek words here that show that these gifts are imparted. There's a variation of gifts, and they're imparted individually as God sees that He wants them. And I believe that they're dealt out in a particular way for us to use and minister to the needs of the body of believers for the equipping of each individual the gifts are for equipping each individual for his ministry, and in unity equipping the body of Christ to become, as it says in Ephesians 15, to grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Or in 13, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those should be the motives behind what God has given us that motivates us. When something motivates us, we have the power and the ability to get excited about it and to really do something about it. And in some ways, we can use what God gives us to a good way or to a selfish and more destructive way. There's a lot of power, and that's probably understated. When God gives us the grace and a gift to do something, and His power is behind it, and it just like I read in Psalms 68, it says the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them. When God is behind it, if you were to take a D12 dozer, now this is for the men, and I don't know if that's the biggest one either. I didn't do my research, but the last I heard, I believe there's D12s. And coal mines have big dozers, huge. If you take the biggest dozer you can get, and you put a man behind that, and that is exciting, there is a power, an energy, and a force behind that that can move tons and tons and tons of material. But if that is all, if just destroying or moving earth is all we do, how do we ever have a landscape that is going to turn into something that is useful? There needs to be some finish work to our gift, not just the power that's behind it. Another thing that I recently or just I have to say this because it just is in my mind of recently happening, or just this weekend actually. And for you ladies, the power that's behind mothers or sisters that are even not married. And I want to make a statement right here that I was thinking of. The gifting of God comes to anyone that is born again. The Apostle Paul was not married, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and with the gift of God. And he had certain strengths and certain weaknesses. And you do not have to be married to exercise the gift of God. I want to make that clear. So as I refer to maybe scenarios that have fathers or mothers, or that you clearly do not have to be married to exercise the gifts of God. Being married increases the need to work together with the gift of God in our individual lives, without a doubt. And it can even make it a little harder. But with God's grace, it can be a joy and also very easy if we apply that inertia, that energy in the right direction or in the right place for the right reason, with the right motive. What was I saying? Oh, but if someone, so we have the different gifts. I wanted to go back to here in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, where it listed some of these gifts. It listed the gift of in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. I'm going to go there. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God, and here's where we are members of the body of Christ, but we are in particular or individually. In some translation it says, ye are members individual. But the word particular there is actually probably a very good word. Not only are we individuals, but the word particular there, 33:13 in the Greek, means that something has been divided out in a particular way for that person, for that reason, for that purpose. And it's like, it's also a word that was used in likeness in the Old Testament. God gave, he divided the children of Israel into 12 tribes, and in particular, they each had a function that brought recognition to God as a whole. And as we go into this a little more, we want to see how this is really the gifts of God that he has given to us have three primary purposes. And I'm getting back on, I'll go there first before I come back to that story that I was going to mention. But the three primary purposes, this is really important. In Ephesians, back to Ephesians 4, these gifts are, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now I'm starting to, I'm not sure exactly that we've always been looking at this quite correctly. There's been a lot of teaching in the past years that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, or some pastors and teachers, and he gave those gifts for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I believe those are gifts that he gave to us. And yet, at the same time, those gifts within us are to be used. It's not, I think sometimes the way it's been taught, it's almost like you have to be in some kind of office. You either have to be a minister or a pastor or a preacher or have some kind of a place in the church that looks like you're in the ministry or in leadership of some kind, for this to be working out for the saints. And that's a wrong concept. I believe this is for everybody to edify each other and the whole body be worked up for the Lord together. Because it clearly says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, and then it says what it's supposed to do with those three things. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, so that should bring us together in a unified way that we can actually see what it said in the first part of Corinthians 4, that there is one body, one spirit, there is one Lord, one faith, one God, one Father, and one hope in our calling through all this. Now, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And here it's using man as an individual that we each want. That's why I think it pertains to us individually in particular first. And as it flows out of us, it becomes part of a whole. All throughout the scriptures of the spiritual gifts, I mean, in several places, it talks about that God gave them to, as he severally wills, individually. Here it says, unto a perfect man, more in the individual sense, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then the purpose, what for? That we henceforth be no more children, we be no more individuals tossed to and fro, carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, that we might grow up into Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So, as we exercise these gifts and we look at them, I believe it's healthy that we understand what they're really for. And as we look in Ephesians 4 here, is not only the beginning of them is for the perfecting of the saints or the work of the ministry. How, the work of ministry, the word ministry there is the work of service, the work of how we serve our Lord, the work of how we minister to those things and needs around us, the work of coming to the fullness of Christ is one of its main purposes. What I see here in 14 is, another main purpose is that we are not tossed about to and fro and end up with doctrines that are not right. And another one is that we become in a fullness, to a fullness of Christ. What did Jesus say? That how shall all men know that we have a fullness in him? That we love one another. So in these various types of gifts that we read about, the prophet, we read about ministry, apostles, teacher, and I'm going to give a few words here. Oh, back to my story a while ago that I was going to say, this energy, what gets you excited? What is something that makes you want to serve in? And just for instance, this past weekend we spent quite a bit of time at my mom and dad's house with Marcus and Rosanna from Fulton and their children and our children primarily, and then one of my other brothers was there. So it was kind of part of my family, siblings, and our children. And there's some things that got done around Grandpa's place that needed to be done a long time ago, and we just couldn't get them completed. There was just, they just didn't some things just weren't taken care of. And one of the things was the back deck was getting so, the boards were so rotten and the nails were coming up in the deck. And for a couple of years, we tried to keep the nails down, but they just kept working their way back up. And I said, you know, we got to change this deck, or one of these days, Dad's going to fall and hurt himself. And so I mentioned that to our children and to Mark, and then they in turn, so one of our children, which is our oldest daughter, she's an organizer or a server, or she wants to see something be administrated and get it done. And she initiated this whole thing that we got to get these things done. And it's like, Dad, are you going to make a list? And am I going to do this? And am I going to organize this? And I keep just not getting it done and not getting it done. And finally, she takes the initiative to just keep kind of, you know, bugging me about it. And so I found out that that's what it takes. That's what it took to get the energy behind this. That was the D12 that kept kind of pushing at it, you know? And then I found out yesterday evening after some conversation that she had been calling some of her brothers as well. And usually when they're really busy, they don't answer the phone unless they think it's really necessary. But for some reason, they had this instinctive thing that when Rose is calling, you better answer, because she probably wants something that means something. And I'm just saying, that is an example of some energy that was behind this, whether it was serving as a ministry or administrations, which means organize. The word administrations is a way, there are diversities of ministrations. There's various ways of organizing and getting something done. And people are organizers, and that's a gift that can be exercised. But if she would have, and in this case here, it all worked out fine. We finally got the energy behind it. We got a date set. And about the last minute, I got a list made, and I sent it out to them. And yesterday we checked off most of that list. And there were some big jobs. But Dad had to fall and bust his hand open on a nail that was sticking up about a quarter inch to prove that it was really necessary. You know, and that's true. It really did. And she was behind that. Well, we were all helping. How could have that all worked out if it wouldn't have been for those that also were willing to do certain parts of this this job? And so that's the way it works in the church. When everything works together and we actually recognize our gift as something that can be utilized to initiate or build up and be a part of a bigger picture, then God can be glorified, or the job can get to where it needs to be, and God can be honored in that. And I'm only bringing that out is for two reasons. One is, if I was on this D12 dozer and I was just pushing and pushing and pushing, and I would end up just pushing away everything else that's around me so I could make my own path, do you think that would be building up something that could really be utilized if everyone else went out of the way so I can do exercise my gift? What would happen? If Rose would have been exercising her gift to initiate all this to the point that we all would have decided we're tired of this and we're not going to listen to it anymore, and she's just bugging us, and she would have just kept hammering away at it, or she would have been there to control everything so that she is in charge of everything, we would have probably not gotten near as much accomplished. And so I'm pointing some of those things out in the sense that the whole idea that I believe that we should recognize our gifts and there's something behind them that God wants us to use them in a way. There's a book, I have read this book for quite a while, but if you want to read a book that's real good on some explanation on spiritual gifts is Simon Schrock's book that's titled Your Greatest Strength Can Become Your Weakness, I believe. It's something like that. That might not be quite right. But we need to exercise our gifts in a more excellent way. What would happen if, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12 again, and I'm obviously not wanting to expound on 1 Corinthians 13 as in itself, but in 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about that more excellent way, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I might could move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. What if we would each look for our gift as a body of believers here, and we would, out of that, as we look at the gift that God has given us, what if our motive would be, what if I had the gift of prophecy and I was really concerned about making sure that all truth is held to the line and we do exactly what God wants, but I don't suffer long with those that are still kind of wondering, you know, what about this? What about that? What about this? And how can we help this person? If you take an exhorter or someone that has mercy and they want to help someone that is walking in untruth, how long suffering are you with that? These are all situations that we have all the time. And if we don't put these gifts together in the way that God gives them, I'm going to talk a little bit about, they will be completely out of balance. Now, I want you to understand that balance here is not just 20 and 40 and 60 and 80 equal 100. It means to me, when I say the word balance here, and I thought about the word harmony, but it really is a way of God using the gifts. Sometimes one needs to be exercised a little more and maybe have a little more concern on it. But I believe as a whole, there is, when Jesus was here, he had a perfect balance of all those gifts and he exercised them. And he was discipling he is today discipling us through his word to bring those all together in unity in the fullness of him. That's what it says in Ephesians, to his fullness, to his measure and stature. And in order to have that balance, we need to be knowing what our gift is and recognizing it. Because somehow we need to covet what God wants us to do. We need to be interested in earnestly seeking what God wants us to do. But we also have another thing that we need to be looking at, that I'm going to go to some scriptures. Is it important that I also look at what my brother or my sister is supposed to be doing? Absolutely. And to do that, I have to look at who I am, and I have to look at who you are. That might be, if I can find the right scripture now, I didn't. That might be what he means when he says in I think it's in Galatians 6. Let me just look there. In working together in a balance of our giftings, yeah, there's an example in Galatians 6 that came to my thoughts as I studied this, and it says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And that's the first part of that context there. That's the context that this is in. But he goes on to say, the next four verses are the ones that I really am thinking about. And he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." The word burdens there is the load or weight. There is something that God has put on you or another one. And this might be the burden of a weakness. I don't think he's talking about... He doesn't necessarily, to me, have to be talking about a sin here that cuts someone off from God. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which..." I didn't look up the word fault there, so I'm not 100% sure what that word is in Greek. Is that sin, or is that a... "Ye which... restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, let's go on with the context that comes after this. "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove," or examine is the word there, "his own work." Now, this work here, this word work, I did look that up, and that is actually... Well, let's read the rest of it. "And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." And I often thought, so what do I have to rejoice in myself alone? Should I rejoice as an individual in what I can accomplish or in myself or in my burden or my work? And this might just have to do with the gifting that God is giving us as a burden to us, that he wants to excite us with, that he wants us to use in ministering and administrating and having an operation that comes out of that that accomplishes something for the body of Christ. And it affects me as an individual what that gift is, but primarily it also affects the body of Christ. He says, "Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." There again, that work burden there is task or service. Every man is to bear his own ministering task that he's given from God. And we're responsible to carry that out in a way that... in a way that comes under the shape and the look of 1 Corinthians 13. What if my gift, what if I exercise my gift in a way that I would look out for my brother that also has, or my sister, that and the various gifts around me in a way that is truly love? What if I would suffer long with those that are using their gifts in a weakness? Or if I'm using my gift in a way that seems overpowering or overbearing to you, what if there would be some long-suffering there and we would work together? What if I would not envy something that you have that God is doing in your life or wanting to use? What if I would not just wish, well, I wouldn't be this kind of a person, but envy something somebody else is? Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not. What if I would do the opposite, maybe of wishing I wouldn't be something? I wish I wouldn't be like this. I just wish wouldn't. I know I'm this way, but I just wish I wouldn't be. Or what if I'm this way and I have this certain characteristics or giftings and I kind of feel like well, if you would really just listen to me, we could get a lot more done. Or if you would do it my way, it would come out a lot better. Those are vauntings. That is vaunting. That is a motive that is not under the aspect and the gift of, or the characteristic of love, of charity. What if I would not be easily provoked by your giftings, and I could say, hey, you know, let's put this all together. Let's work together. And we could understand each other's giftings with some appreciation. What if I would think no critical points or no evil, no criticism toward someone else's ideas or ways of doing something? And I'm not implying that we're all doing, right now I'm on the section of giftings where we can actually rub each other the wrong way with our giftings. But it would be beautiful if we would rejoice and we would bear all things, it would believe all things. We would go back to Galatians 6 or 5 and look at the things there that exercise the fruits of the Spirit in the way we exercise our gift, in love, in joy, in peace, and long-suffering. What if I would respond to the energy and the strength that your gift has with gentleness, with meekness? It's just a beautiful thing that I think one of the things that God is wanting the most to show the world out of the body of Christ is how they work together. How we actually take that energy, that inertia, and the gifting, the excitement that God puts in us, the rejoicing that I have in more of an individual, what excites me and what excites you, and you take all these gifts, whether there's 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, we could look, or maybe even 4 or 5, we could... Like I said today, I'm not looking at so much at the individual ones as I am the importance of the motives behind how we use them. What is our motive? Is it to build up the body of Christ? I truly believe that if we go back and look at the initial working of the perfecting of the saints for ministering and serving, for edifying the body of Christ, the total sum of that is that we stay free of false doctrines by the sleight of men and their craftiness, that we actually come to the fullness of the stature of Christ, and that we speak the truth in love. And here, the word, here, speaking the truth in love, as I looked that up, speaking the truth here is a slightly different Greek word than 225, which is truth, truth. But this is truth as in speaking something that is genuine. We're actually transparent. Are we willing to exercise our gifts and walk in a transparency and openness with simply acknowledging and rejoicing in who I am? And rejoicing in who you are together. That is my message. Can I rejoice in what God is wanting to do with my gifting? And can I rejoice by your inputs of your giftings? And can I take time with gentleness, with the fruits of the Spirit? Can I, when I say take time, but can I stop long enough to quit thinking about my own gift, to think about yours with true humility, gentleness, meekness, and input. I believe that what happens when we do that, again, I read Galatians 6. I'm gonna close with a few words here. I noticed something that I didn't completely follow up on all research, but in almost all of Paul's writings, Corinthians, or Romans, and I didn't even read much out of Romans today, but Romans 12 is full of some of this, part of this message. Well, I'm going to read Romans 12, the part that I want if our giftings are balanced with each other and they're harmonizing, it says in Romans 15, or first of all, let's start with Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things where one may wherewith one may edify another. Then I'm going to skip down to the first verse in 15. When we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. If we would do it to please each other and to bring edifying to the body of Christ, how would that look? Let's turn to Philippians 2. Because I read the one in Galatians already in verse 1 through 6. And in Romans, it also talks about not to think more highly of ourselves than I ought. I believe that enters into this way we look at ourselves healthily with our giftings. We don't need to shun or downplay. I believe it's pride when we downplay what we feel like God is doing with us or wanting to use us for. What excites me, what actually gives me energy and rejoicing together to give me I'm referring to myself, but you imply this to yourself. What gives you the fulfillment, the rejoicing, the excitement? What parts of your character and the gifting that you feel when you really feel God working, giving you something that he wants you to press into, what motivates you? Is the area that you're gifted in. And if you or I just push that aside and say, that really wasn't me. I mean, just sometimes I do that, but you know, you just downplay that. That is downplaying. That's pride. That is pride. Because I want attention, but I downplay it to try to make it look like it's not really me. We just need to be transparent and real. Yeah, that's what excites me. That's where I'm at. But I also want to know what God is doing from your part and what your input is. In Philippians 2, 1 through 5, I have a couple of closing comments here. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you combine that with Galatians 6, how do you get a healthy view of, let me just go back and read that. How do we get a healthy view of esteeming the other better than ourselves, and not every one of us looking just at our own things, but every man on the things of others? And then also, how do we let every man prove his own work, that shall he have rejoicing in himself and not in another? See, there is a point where we rejoice in what we are doing as well. But we also, at the same time, we look and esteem the other, each other. So those can both happen at the same time. I'm convinced they can. God can do that. He gives us a healthy... when we're connected to really walking with what God is purposing in our lives, and we're satisfied, we're okay with who we are, we're okay with what He gifted us with, And we're looking at ourselves as something that God is using to glorify himself. And he's also using my brother or my sister to glorify himself. When we do that together, we all have our focus. Where? On Christ or God. And that's where we have to have it. Because when we start looking around, just circling around down here, 4 to 6 feet off the ground, we're just looking at each other's intellectual patterns and characteristics. We got to look higher than that. And our motives have to be higher than that. Colossians 3:10. Also, I thought were a couple of good verses to close with. maybe it's not. It's 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And I'm going to stop right there. But I believe verse 12, that if we put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, those, along with the fruits of the Spirit that are in Galatians 5, and the charity, how charity actually works, if we live out of those spiritual aspects, the giftings that we each have can be recognized, looked at healthily from your own point, don't be afraid to look at what God is desiring to do with you and how he is gifting you. Don't get focused on what you don't have and what others have. And don't use what you have, and this is for me, let's not use what we have with the wrong motive, to have an agenda, to lift ourselves up, or that my gift is a little more important than your gift. And we all have a blend of these gifts in some ways. There definitely is, though, that each one of us, I believe, truly, I'm at the point where I believe that God has predominantly given each one of us a more dominant gift, and they are supposed to work together for these reasons that I gave in Ephesians, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we can withstand and hold out with false doctrines, so that we can show the world how believers actually live together, and God can be glorified. May we have the right motives when we do that. May I have the right motive. I speak to myself first. Thank you, brothers and sisters. May the Lord bless you. We'll open up for testimony.
Yeah, I'd just like to express appreciation for the messages today. I thought they flowed well together, and even the song service this morning was touching and stirring, and I really appreciated that as well. And just something that I was thinking as you were sharing there, Richard, was